Welcome to another exciting episode of the Start Down Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening. I am excited. This is one of those domino effect episodes. And what I mean by that is it's like where you get a guest from another guest and it's a referral. I've been having a lot of, I don't say arguments, discussions with my trainer about my debate, your network is your net worth. I don't necessarily believe that, but I do believe your network can open a lot of doors. Your network is only your net worth if you know how to leverage it. And we talked about that before. But today's guest, we're going to dig into some cool things. He's got like a really neat background, kind of his hands in a lot of things. And more importantly, I think it's pretty neat, the perspective and where he's coming from. But him and I have a similar philosophy, and we talked about it before we came on air. So, Eric, like I always say, no one introduces himself better than you do. So why don't you introduce yourself to the audience, tell them a little bit about who you are, and then we'll dive right into this thing.
Absolutely, man. Mike, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited. And thank you to Isaac for the introduction.
Yeah.
Everybody, my name is Eric Chow. I am 20 years young. While a full-time student in university, I'm studying business with a concentration in management information technology. And on the side, I host my own podcast, the Eric Chow Empowers Podcast. I work as the chief consultant at Mashman Ventures, a public relations firm specializing in personal branding. And I'm just a business entrepreneur-minded guy.
I love it. Well, as the saying goes, I have shoes older than you. But, I love that. And it's funny because you and I were talking before air, I gave you my background and kind of, my career has been about 20 years split, between teaching and entrepreneurship. And it's funny because 20 years to me, when I was your age, probably would have seemed like a lifetime because it was, but now it seems like it goes so quick. And obviously you're young and I love this. And we talked even before on air, you just kind of rattled off a bunch of stuff. Why at a young age, like most kids your age are doing cake stands and just kind of like chilling and enjoying, making funny TikToks. Why work so hard now?
You know what, man? First thing is I enjoy it. Nice. I don't think of it like hard work. Obviously, yep. There is an aspect of hard work into it, but I don't do it for the sake of working hard. I do it because I actually enjoy these different things that I have my hands in.
Nice.
And I think there's a different purpose for each and every one of them. I'm just the kind of guy who has this a drive to do more and do better. And I love what you said in the introduction. Network is not really your net worth, but it's about how you use it. And dude, like just random conversations I've had have let me go on so many different paths. And I love connecting with people and talking to people. And that's how I do pretty much everything I do. Nice. Like my position at Mashman Ventures and I met Isaac. That was an episode of my podcast. Wow. He was a guest on my show at episode 5. I literally messaged him 3 days after my show started. Like that's how it happened. It's not like I was working hard and tried to figure all this. I was doing all these things because I had this drive to be better and to have fun and enjoy life and connect with people and learn more. Just that like very natural curiosity kind of thing. And it just opened so many doors. And I said, I'm going to walk through it because I like this.
I love it. And you mentioned something there and I'm curious. I'd love for us to dive into this a little bit because please. I think in the entrepreneurial community, we talked about the cliche saying your network is your net worth. And there's a bunch of other ones, but obviously there's a big debate of college is a waste of time and money. And you seem to have this passion for entrepreneurship, but also a passion for your education. Why both, right? Because it seems like, and I'm so intrigued by this because I have a son who's 14 and everyone's like, well, what's he going to be when he grows up? I said, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to be when I grow up. And I'm 41 years old. So how did you determine, hey, I know I want to go to college and I want to be an entrepreneur. Was there ever a pull like, hey, I got to go all in on one or the other? Or what's your thoughts on that debate?
I didn't feel like I had to go all in on either one. I never have. I understand that some people do, and that's, I totally respect it. I think that in a lot of ways, college can be a waste of time, but I think it depends on what your path is and what you're doing. If you don't really have a plan, then I think it's important to have something. You got to do college. You got to do some sort of trade school. If you're not an entrepreneur kind of minded person, if you don't know what you're doing in business, then it probably isn't a good idea to just not go to school.
Yeah.
You probably need to figure something out, dang it. But if you already have businesses and that's where your head is at and you're able to kind of go that route, then shoot, go for it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Going to school may not be a great plan for you. I think it very much depends. I don't believe in the idea of just do it because it's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's ridiculous. And I think that's gotten a lot of people into trouble. So I think it depends on kind of that personal path. One of the questions that a personal friend and mentor asked me, well, actually, I had asked him, I had asked him because he's probably about your age, maybe a little older. And he said, I asked him, because his daughter is a year younger than I am. Mm. I asked him, what do you ask your daughter instead of what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do in the future? That kind of stuff. Because I hated that question. I mean, I've been asked that for years and years and years. And, you know, I'm a teenage kid at that time. And, you know, I'm like, what the heck is all this? I don't freaking know. You probably don't know.
Yeah.
I would be saying that, whoever's asking me. So I asked him, you know, he seemed like he's a smart guy. So I was like, okay, what do you ask your daughter instead of that question? And he told me, I like to think about who I want to be and how I want to live.
Mm.
And I loved that. I mean, that blew my mind, because I thought about that as the perspective of a kid about to go into college. I was an undecided major.
Yep.
And I just sat there looking at a list of majors and a list of job options. Like, that's what it felt like. It just felt like this infinitely long list. And I'm like, I don't know what to do here. This is too much. I don't get it. I don't know. But when he started talking about who you want to be and how you want to live, and I started to think about that, for me, it felt like a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I can put in anything.
Yeah.
And that freed me up. And that gave me a lot of clarity. Is over the, I think after I'd asked him that question, maybe about 12 months later, I look back and I was like, man, I got a lot of clarity now.
That's awesome.
And a lot of things just started to make sense. Do I have it all figured out? Of course not.
No. And who does, right? Like, I always say, everyone's like, be normal. And you know, you got to figure it all out. I'm like, well, you introduced me to the normal person that has it all figured out. And then I'll model that. But they don't exist, right? I think everybody's just on their own path. They're on their own story. And, you know, I think you made a great point, right? Gary Vee says it all the time. Like, when he meets young people, he always says, hey, you guys got time, right? That's like the biggest value of thing. And even that, you know, whatever time is, I think even like you said, the person who's older than me, a few years older, they're still super young, by the way.
Absolutely.
But like, you know, it's like that idea. I'm like, well, I'm only 41, right? Like there's still like 20, 30, maybe 40 years, if I'm lucky, left to do the things that I want to do. You know, that runway that's ahead of you, though, that runway that you have, and obviously you have school, you have, we talked a little bit about network marketing off air, you've got your entrepreneurship with Mashable Ventures, you got your podcast, you know, let's step back a little bit. You know, I mean, what was it like growing up? I mean, did your parents instill some of this in you? Was it just like, what was the moment that you're like, wait, I'm different. I like to do a lot of things.
That is a great question. My parents are very job oriented. That was always their path. It was nothing entrepreneurship wise at all, from their background or from pretty much anybody else in my family. My uncle kind of has a bit of entrepreneurship background in him. He works with computers, and then he decided to leave kind of a regular job and go into kind of his own small business kind of thing. But other than that, I didn't really have an entrepreneurial influence at all. What they did do, though, was there was always this, like I said, a natural curiosity that I have. I just love learning. I love people. I like tech. But I think that for me, it was just, I didn't like the idea of, you know, I looked at my parents, I looked at kind of the other adults in my life, and they were just kind of doing the same thing, working a job, you know, 9 to 5, giving their family kind of leftovers. Just a lot of different things I didn't like about that. I'm excited. Listen, the reason I'm still in college is because I'm still excited about the career I'm pursuing there.
Awesome.
Business and tech related. Obviously, that's why I'm still here. Otherwise, I would have dropped out by now. But I'm excited about the fact that I have options.
Yep.
You know, I'm doing it because it's not the thing I'm going to pursue for 40 years. It's the thing I want to pursue now because I enjoy it, because I want to do it, because I'm interested, because I'm curious, because I think that there's things I can do there that's going to be impactful, et cetera, et cetera. And then at some point, who knows, I might pivot. And I think life is just a bunch of pivots, right?
Yeah.
So
what does a success picture look like for you then, right? Because obviously you're very much in the building stage. You're trying a lot of this stuff, but you're also established, right? Like you said, like, hey, look, I, you probably could pick any one of those paths I just said and go win, but you're like, I'm kind of still seeing where I want to. What does the success look like for you though? Like, what's the goal setting look like for you moving forward?
Interesting. I would say the kind of dream life for me would be based around, obviously, I want to spoil the heck out of my parents. That's one of my big like dreams and goals. Yeah. I just want to spoil the heck out of them. I don't want to take care of them. I don't want to, you know, be nice to them. I want to spoil them. You know, that's I want to, awesome. You know, go on vacation, like everything. That's one of my big dreams. So one of the signs that I haven't said this in a while. One of the signs that I think I've made it is the day that I take 2 first class tickets, hand them to my parents and say, okay, this is where you're going. And it's just some nice place in Asia or Europe or South America, whatever, someplace. And first class tickets, pack your bags, you leave in 2 days or whatever. When you arrive, there's a car that's going to pick you up. You're going to go to a 5-star hotel. Like, I just want to like nail down everything for them. You're going to have a dinner on the ocean side, whatever.
Yeah.
That's one of the first signs I've made. So spoiling my parents for sure. I have a younger sister, take care of her as well. But I guess on the work side, the dream is really to have a bunch of conversations about other people's dreams and goals, aspiration. Like, this is the vision I see for this industry or for this community or this whatever. And we just have conversations about those dreams and then we execute on them.
That's awesome.
So however, whatever financial level that takes, whatever networking connections that takes, whatever time it takes, I want to be able to have those conversations and then have whatever resources to execute on it. That would be the dream.
I love that. And I guess, would you classify yourself as a millennial? I'm losing track of like where it is. Like, is that where you fall?
Gen Z. If I'm not mistaken, I'm Gen Z.
So, and I guess the question would be too, because a lot of people say with COVID and social media and, you know, just your generation is, you know, and I think it's funny because everyone's like, oh, this generation. I'm like, well, like if I recall correctly, like my generation was screwed up for XYZ reasons. My parents' generation was screwed up for XYZ reasons. Their parents' generation was screwed up. Like everyone, like no one ever says, oh, that generation's good to go. They're going to do something, right? Like everyone's got this complaint, but like, how do you find your tribe, for lack of a better term? I mean, do you find that, you know, kids your age and what you're going to school in, and you know, like you said, you met Isaac, is it hard to find them? And maybe not online, because I think online is a little bit easier. I'm more curious, like in the university or in your high school, was it easy to find kids that had the same entrepreneurial mindset or the say I want to start a podcast mindset? Or do you feel a little bit like you're on an island and you need to go out to the internet to find those people?
I'll answer that question in 2 parts. I didn't have this kind of a mindset, I think, in high school, for example. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very entrepreneurial. I had nothing going in terms of like entrepreneurship. I had absolutely no interest. I actually joke that if you talked to me 2.5 years ago and you asked me about entrepreneurship, I would have said, hell no.
Yeah.
Because like, that's just where I was for whatever reason. But even back then, I didn't have a lot of people who were interested in some of the things that I was at the same level of intensity.
Right.
So we had obviously common interests. That's why we were friends and things like that. But for example, I was super, super into personal development.
Yeah.
I didn't have very many people like that.
Yeah.
Except to maybe some in my senior year of high school, but that was about it. I didn't have anybody really. As I started getting into podcasting, no, in person, I didn't have anything. Everybody was kind of finding them online. Isaac, I got lucky with Isaac, found him on Twitter. Dang it. I don't know how the heck that happened. Even in university now, I would say, yeah, I mean, in some ways I definitely feel like I'm on an island. Yeah. If you just look at my in-person life, definitely. Fortunately for me, I've gotten a bunch of friends who I've met online and who I've connected to from my past, or people who are older than me, who aren't in university with me. So I've got a really strong community going for me, but in terms of just going to school and stuff, no, I'm definitely on an island.
I love that. Well, yeah, it's like I always say, and you understand this probably a little more because you're in California, that entrepreneurship is a lot like Hawaii. You know, it's not that big. There's a bunch of little islands there. It's beautiful. Everyone wants to go there, but it's a pain in the ass to get there. Have you ever had to go there?
That's like, really good.
It's not just a hop, skip, jump, and it's in the middle of the ocean. It's in the middle of nowhere, right? But it's when you get there, there's this sense of, I don't know if you've ever been, there's a sense of normalcy of like, this is kind of like America, but it's not like America. And it's just, it's to me like Hawaii. Like everyone's like describing the British, I'm like, Hawaii. You
know, Mike, this is brilliant. This is one of the greatest analogies.
Yeah. So, you know, and you mentioned the podcast. So let's talk about it a little bit. Obviously, we're on a podcast now. Yes. It's the big thing, right? Like I think, and the coolest thing is, I mean, I think, you know, when I was your age, like I feel really old right now, by the way. So I apologize. I don't know why everyone thinks I've yet to do this in a normal conversation, but whenever you talk about being old, you wave your finger in the air.
That's true.
But you know, I would have loved to be in radio. Like I always thought, hey, like that was kind of like a plan C. I don't know. I have an A, B, C. I didn't know what I was doing, but radio was always something I wanted to do. And obviously now with podcasting, you see it's very easy for us to be doing this. You have a podcast. What led you to that? What led you to podcasting?
It goes back to the personal development that I was into. Mm. I didn't really have an opportunity to talk about it like I wanted to. And I just wanted a kind of a platform for me to express myself, share stories, share things I was learning. I tried writing articles. Writing is cool, but I don't know. I just couldn't do that very consistently like that.
I hear that.
It felt forced. It felt edited. Posting on Instagram and other social medias was great, but it didn't give me enough. You know, it's very short kind of thing. Video, it didn't feel natural to me. So I decided I was going to experiment with podcasting. I was listening to podcasts way back at the time. So it was, and this is, by the way, probably like 2.5 years ago, roughly. And I started my podcast in August of 2019.
Oh, wow.
I was literally, 2 months out of high school or something like that. And I just wanted a place to express myself. I didn't really think too much about it. And I started it. And then it ended up being a opportunity to have a lot of conversations and allow other people to share stories. I share stories, you share stories, everybody shares stories. And it just became like this authentic expression. And I focus it a lot on empowerment because my journey started with personal development, right? And it was all about empowering myself and then empowering myself to share stories and then empowering other people to share their stories and their lessons and the things they've learned. And so that's how I ended up getting started. It was a very figure it out as I go kind of thing.
Yeah. Much like life, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's funny, the figure out as you go, you kind of mentioned personal development, you know, let's talk about that a little bit because, you know, I think it's something where, and there's two sides to it, right? A lot of people say, well, like, you know, positive thinking only takes you so far, right? But it can also, you know, keep you stuck where you're not, right? If you're in a negative mindset and all that. You know, how has personal development, and like you said, not a lot of people in college are like, hey, I'm going to go read a self-help book or go to a Tony Robbins event or be involved in that. How has that changed your commitment, even to your major or to what you're doing? How has it impacted your everyday life?
I think of it like this. If you upgrade you upgrade everything you do.
Mm.
I mean, I think it's as simple as that. You know, you have however many applications on your phone. And I mean, if we were all using the original iPhone, I mean, this would probably not be going very well.
Right.
But we upgraded our phone. We upgraded our OS. We upgraded the actual physical components of the phone so that we can actually handle all these new applications. And these applications are always getting updated. By upgrading me, I upgrade everything that I'm able to do. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or like I'm putting myself on a pedestal, but I really do feel like I have a little bit of a step ahead of a lot of people who are my peers at my age because of just the years and years I've put into personal development and upgrading myself and my mindset, the way I look at things, the way I solve problems, the way I network, the way I work with people, just my sheer like determination when I'm faced with an annoying challenge on something. The way I do all of that just gives me a tremendous advantage. And I don't feel like I'm smarter than most of my classmates. There are plenty of smart people at university, but because of little things like that, I feel like I'm doing super, super well with way less effort.
Yes.
You know, a lot of professors will talk about, oh, invest this much time. And I'm like, I don't need that much time. Look at my grade.
Yeah.
You ask me a question right now, I'll be fine. Now, does that mean I'd get everything? Of course not. Does that mean I'm the perfect student? Of course not. But in a lot of cases, I feel like I have a tremendous advantage because of the number of years and the amount of time that I've spent just growing myself and upgrading myself.
I love that. I love that. And speaking of upgrading yourself, you know, I know you mentioned kind of Magical Ventures. You guys focus on personal brand. You know, obviously it's so important. I'm a firm believer in that. I literally was just on a call with a client and it's like the mantra of our, we talked about how I was doing quarterly reviews. Like, you know, it's people follow people, not companies. Yeah. You know, and obviously you're establishing your personal brand so early, right? So you're going to have a great foundation, a great traction. Why is the personal brand so important? You know, what is it that people miss out on that? I think both young and old, right? I feel like there's this in between that maybe does it, but what is it that makes a personal brand so important?
I think there's a lot of things, especially for someone like me. I mean, when I was getting started, I had no idea what I was going to do. So establishing a personal brand was all I had. I couldn't establish a professional brand. I didn't have one.
Right.
What was I even doing? Right. So I had to start with a personal brand. Now that I'm doing so many different things, obviously I can establish kind of a brand for each and every one of them, but why not just establish my personal brand? I remember telling Isaac, and I this was a conversation we had a very long time ago before I even joined his firm. I'm not even sure he had his firm at that point, but a long time ago, I told him, listen, man, your niche is you.
Yeah.
You are your niche. Don't worry about, you know, this or that. You know, I need to focus on this. I mean, yeah, obviously you should have some focus in some direction, but like your niche is you. And so why is personal brand important? It's because that is you and you are everything you do, right? If you establish some brand for yourself, if you establish credibility for yourself, if you become known for you, then everything you do is bound to do super well.
Yep.
Right. You know, Jeff Bezos can do anything.
Right.
Yes, his brand. The reason Elon
Musk can go to space.
Exactly. The reason Elon Musk has so many, I mean, Tesla and SpaceX are not related. What the heck is that, man?
Yeah.
But it's Elon Musk. He has the personal brand that can attract the funding and attract the business and make sure everything is kind of put in place. There's a lot of work involved, obviously. But just by having his personal brand, he's able to position himself in a certain way.
Yep.
Even if businesses are just completely freaking different.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, personal brand.
So I think with that, you give two great examples, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, right? How their brand, you know, and I always say success comes from vision and delegation. but when you look at those guys, obviously they have the ability to do that, you know. You take your average entrepreneur, right? Or someone like yourself, right? Well, I'm in school, I'm working, I'm doing this. How do I create a personal brand if I feel I just don't have time, right? I'm either a new entrepreneur, I'm a young man, and I'm just like, hey, you know, like I just don't have time for that. What's some of the simple things you could do right now to establish your personal brand?
First of all, the idea of I don't have time is nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that is total BS. I would curse, but you know, just say BS for now. I don't know.
You can curse. It's fine. You wouldn't be the first.
No, I really do. I think that's nonsense. Simple things you can do. Anything that you post on social media is part of your personal brand. That's one thing. One of the things that I started doing super early on, even before I had any thought of entrepreneurship or personal branding, was I decided I'm going to be a little bit more thoughtful. Instead of just posting that nice selfie and saying, hi, this is me on a Sunday, you know, maybe you can post a little bit more thought about it. Something that you're thinking about, some conversation that you're having, something that you're reading, something that you're listening to. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you have something to talk about.
Yeah.
I find that the fact that I'm just listening to podcasts like these or reading a book gives me plenty to talk about. If you're having interesting conversations, that's something to talk about. So create conversations and just start talking about what you're doing. Whether, you know, you could just be posting something on social media, Instagram stories or any stories are just really great because it's super easy and they disappear. So that's just a great way to start. Start writing something. Maybe you can just start a small email newsletter. Say, hey, a couple of friends, subscribe to my newsletter. And it's just an easy way to start writing something.
Yeah,
it's not really anything, you know, you're not really putting it out there or anything. It's just an easy way to start putting some thoughts together and having something. Maybe you start a simple podcast and you just talk for 5 minutes. It doesn't need to be a show like this with more, you know, you have a mic, I have a mic, you know, you and me, we've been at this for a little while. But you can just start, you know, just start talking about something. Shoot, I don't know what the heck my first episode was about. If somebody tells me I listened to your first episode, I'm like, great, was it good? They're like, no. I'm like, yeah, sounds about right.
as it should be, right? It should be terrible.
So it's not hard. It's just taking a few minutes, literally, to just say something. That's it.
That's awesome.
You can just start there.
That's awesome. All right, well, we're wrapping up here. I got some rapid fire questions. You okay with that?
Ooh, let's go.
All right. So we're going to go iPhone or Android?
I'm an Android.
Mac or PC?
I'm a PC.
Okay, yeah. So usually Android and PC go together. Dropbox or Google Drive?
Ooh, Google Drive.
Google Drive. Okay, yeah. See, that? There you go. You're on the track. Exactly. Favorite food?
Oh, that's you know what? I'm a big fan of Italian food.
There
I'm
you also go.
From Burmese. I'm Chinese Burmese. Burmese is from a country called Burma or Myanmar. A bunch of political turmoil going on over there, but Burmese food is bomb. And so is Italian food.
There you go. Yeah, I'm with you on the Italian food. I got to try the other one. I can't even say it, but I got to try it. all right. And then favorite podcast, and it can be your own.
You sure? It depends. It depends on the different mood that I'm in and the kind of podcast I want to look at. I'm definitely a fan of Isaac's podcast. I think it's I prefer his solo episodes with monologues. Mm-hmm. But his conversations are fantastic. Interviews. Show that's close to my heart is Tea with Mike. That's another personal friend of mine. His show is somewhat similar to mine. His guests are kind of a different demographic, but we have a very similar mindset on kind of where our hearts are and where our heads are. Shows that kind of inspired me at the start of my journey, Impact Theory by Tom Bilyeu, and On Purpose with Jay Shetty.
There you go. So those are all some great choices. And finally, a book recommendation for the audience.
Ooh, shoot, man. I just posted this on my Instagram story today. I finished 23 books this year, so I got a lot of to pick from. I would say one of the big ones is The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz.
Okay.
I think regardless of who you are and what you do, it's just a really powerful foundational book for the way you should think.
Awesome. Love it. Well, Eric, man, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time. I think just a ton of value in this. You know, the thing I love it is we're early on in your origin story. So I'm excited to follow it and see how you develop and follow your personal brand, your personal story. And if anyone else wants to follow it as well, what's the best way for them to find you online or get in touch with you?
Super easy, at Eric Chow Real everywhere.
Nice. Very cool. And we'll make sure we include those links in the bottom. Eric, thank you again. Thank you to all of you for listening. For more great episodes like this, make sure you visit thestartdown.com. For more about me, MikeFicara.com. And I will see you on the next episode.